John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show on CBS Audio Network. Gillian Melcher, an editorial page writer of the Wall Street Journal editorial page, reporting on the border, and we've watched the hopes and the plans and the risks of the people coming from the South. But the border, from the reporting that Gillian is presenting, is dominated by the cartels. You saw, or you believed you saw, many of them. You report that they are completely in control of the crossing. Who are they? Where do they come from? Are they migrants themselves, Gillian, or are they from another part of Mexico?
Well, so I've actually been reading up on this. There's a great book called The Beast. It's about 10 years old, and it looks into what this journey is like for migrants from the moment they crossed from the Northern Triangle in Central America and travel through Mexico. And, I mean, these are often Mexican cartels, but what's really interesting is that sometimes you get migrants joining them, helping exploit other migrants.
Right.
So I can't emphasize this enough, that if you're a migrant coming up through Central America, you can expect to be exploited from city to city to city. But I think around the borders in particular, the cartels see this as an opportunity. They want to use U.S. policy on immigration as a way to make money. They know that they can make migrants pay to make the illegal crossing, particularly right now, where there is no way for people to legally cross the border and seek asylum. So that's a big profit driver for the cartels. And then the other thing that you're starting to see is cartels are using the humanitarian crisis to gain inroads elsewhere. So they can control the traffic across the border. They can decide who crosses, when they cross. They pay to cross. And so they'll send large groups, 100 people, 200 people, 300 people, knowing that U.S. authorities are going to have to come pick them up, that often there will be urgent medical needs that they'll have to attend to, that even if they aren't, it takes a lot of manpower to drive them to U.S. facilities. It's the middle of a pandemic, so those facilities are more strained than they usually are. And basically, they know that if they do this, they can overwhelm U.S. law enforcement. And then a couple miles down the road, they can send drugs, weapons, contraband across that river. So that's a real concern. And I was encouraged to see Texas law enforcement stepping up, helping U.S. Border Patrol police the border, make sure that things aren't getting through that shouldn't. But it is a definite concern. I think the cartels see this as an opportunity, and they're determined to exploit it at every turn.
What is a bailout? You say there have been 22 bailouts. How does that work?
Yeah, so this is really scary. So this is from March 4th to March 20th, just in the Rio Grande Valley, Del Rio, Texas. What these criminals do is when they encounter law enforcement, they'll get in a car chase. And they'll hit the brakes kind of slowly, jump out of the moving car, but they'll leave it and drive. So all of a sudden, police are trying to catch people who are fleeing on foot, while at the same time, they've got a moving vehicle that may be headed toward an intersection, could be headed to a sidewalk with pedestrians on it, could be headed toward a building. So it's a lot like what we were just talking about with the crossing at the river, how these criminals take advantage of chaos right. to get away. And they're really just agents of chaos and confusion, and it's something that's very difficult for law enforcement to deal with.
You provide a story that could have a happy ending. You meet Mary Uri Nomi Ramirez, 21 years old, at the Brownsville bus station. Where does she come from? Where is she going?
She's from Honduras. She's traveling with her 4-year-old son, Jose. And I was just asking her what it was like. What's it like crossing the Rio? What's your experience been like? And she said, of course, it was terrifying. She knew that she was putting her son's life at risk, is what she told me. But when she looked at her options back in Honduras, she was in desperate poverty. She was saying, if you don't have money, if you don't have an education, you have no opportunities, you have no future. And that's not what she wanted for her son. She tried to make it washing clothing, ironing. But it wasn't cutting it. She wasn't able to provide for her child. And so she ended up taking this risk, successfully made it across the border, and she's headed to Los Angeles.
Did she turn herself into American authorities? I was struck by the fact that she's at Brownsville taking the bus, and she's not being apprehended. So she's an example of the families or the moms and babies. I think that's what Reverend Barbary says. The moms and babies cross the river, and authorities let them proceed on. Is that correct?
Yeah, right now most families under the age of seven. There were changes recently in Mexican law, Mexican policy. So it varies really by region, by town. And you've got to keep in mind that Mexican authorities are at times corrupt and entangled with the cartels. So there's not necessarily always clear motives there. But they won't accept back, in some cases, families with young children. So increasingly, and I can't find a good policy to point to, Customs and Border Protection, Department of Homeland Security under the Biden administration has not been very transparent. But what I'm hearing on the ground from everyone I talk to is families with kids under seven that succeed in making the illegal crossing are very likely to get released into the United States.
Jillian Melcher, editorial page writer for The Wall Street Journal. I'm John Batchelor.